Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name is David Reed, and this is Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek.
Hello, my name is Marek. Welcome, old listeners, and probably 2 to 3 new listeners.
Now, we've done that expensive advertising campaign.
This is...
on public toilets.
A key moment when you're listening, judging us, deciding, do I want to spend the next 25 minutes in the company of these people? And I feel pretty under pressure, David.
Okay, well, maybe this will make you feel better. Yesterday, I was in a tapas restaurant, and I saw Mark Kermode walking along the street with a wheelie case. He was looking old. There you go. Does that make you feel a bit better?
Oh, not really.
A wheelie case in Soho. What's he doing? There's no airports there. He's
probably got his Brill cream in there for his hair.
He's probably got Simon Mayo in it.
He's probably writing all the notes that he's written after listening to this podcast. So he nicks and put it in his own podcast.
Now, we've already been told that was Edith Bowman. We can't keep holding it against Mark Kermode.
The backstory is someone wrote in for new listeners and people who seldom listen. Someone wrote in saying that Mark Kermode, who does a BBC podcast ripping us off, turns out it was just his stand-ins.
It was just his stand-ins. So someone wrote in with their big shitty spoon, got us both, Marek Moore, riled up about it, and then someone else had to write in to say we were quite wrong in our anger. It was not righteous.
Well, I didn't do this podcast to talk about other people's podcasts. This is a podcast in which we're chatting about films we've seen in the cinema and recently. You
sure
went to the cinema.
I did go to the cinema. I went to the View in Islington, Angel. Do you know it?
I am indifferent to that cinema.
It doesn't offend me. The clientele are never overly annoying. You know, it's fine. The staff are okay. You know, they're not incompetent. They turn the lights off after the trailers. That annoys me a bit, but at least they turn them off.
It feels like going to a big city, that cinema.
Yeah.
You feel quite anonymous.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is nice sometimes, especially if you're not wearing pants and trousers.
That's true. Anonymity is best. Tops, no bottoms. So I went to see the film Legend, which is about the Cray twins, gangster brothers of old London town, both of whom are played by Tom Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
And this...
A pair of glasses. Tom Hardy with a pair of glasses, Tom Hardy without a pair of glasses.
Well, actually, somehow they've managed to break his nose, and his cheeks seem to be stuffed with something. Because Ronnie Cray was always like he was eating two. I was going to say Battenbergs, but I don't mean that. What are they called? Those Tonics tea cakes. Like he's got two Tonics tea cakes. But basically, it tells the story of the two brothers. But when it starts, they're already gangsters. It's not an origin story, thank God. They're big news in London, and it's them just. It's Reggie, who is the sort of charming, business-headed one, unlike Ronnie, who is the sociopathic, violent, and homosexual one. It's Reggie having a relationship with a girl who he then marries, and it's her story, basically. And she's played by Emily Browning, who is very pretty, and she narrates the whole thing.
So, is that an excuse, though? Because when people do voiceovers, I always think...
It can go two ways, can't it? I mean, sometimes it works. I think it works in Seven, because it's Morgan Freeman, but also it
works... Morgan Freeman can do it in any film.
But it also works in American Beauty, doesn't it? With Kevin Spacey, I think. But
then that's because he's narrating because he's dead, that's why, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. But so if it suits the piece... it really, really doesn't suit the piece. I mean, someone's emailed in, we'll probably read it out a bit later, with exactly the same thought that I had, having watched Legend. It is a Blade Runner level of shit, this voiceover.
Right.
It is pretentious. It isn't in the voice of the character, it's in the voice of the writer-director, quite clearly. It, you know, if the character is being omniscient, they have to at least be themselves and have attitudes they would have and use language that they would use, and she isn't. It's awkward and unnecessary almost entirely as well. It feels tacked on and shit. And it gives the whole piece this really odd flavour of smugness that it doesn't need. Now, at the heart of this, Tom Hardy's dual performances as the two brothers are faultless. They're brilliant. And Ronnie Cray is a really good, funny creation. He's a brilliant character. They don't pull any punches. He's a proper sociopath, but he also does have weird glimpses of warmth, and he's articulate, even though he's mental. It's a really good character who's created, and he is utterly different as Reggie. If you saw a shot in isolation, you'd know which one he was playing, and it's not just because of the glasses, you know, you would know. He's really, really good in it. The central character, played by Emily Browning, is, sadly, trousers. It's complete rubbish. She is a porcelain doll and nothing more. People keep saying, oh, she's fragile, you need to be careful, she's fragile, and then you see...
Do I say it though, so?
Yeah.
She's bloody fragile.
Well, it's in the 60s, so it's not quite Ray Winston territory, but the tone of this is... It's far more Guy Ritchie than it is Long Good Friday. You know, it isn't a throwback, classic, golden era British gangster movie. It's a bit silly, and it feels like a comic book adaptation. There's a fight scene where Ronnie and Reggie take on a rival gang, completely outnumbered. Reggie, who used to be a boxer with the twin knuckle dusters, and Ronnie, who is a sociopath with two hammers. And they play like pop music over the top, like...
Oh, really?
Yeah, like in...
Modern pop music?
Yeah, I think maybe from the time, actually. I forget what song it was. But it feels like the scene from Shaun of the Dead, where, you know...
Oh, with, Don't Stop Me Now.
Yeah, it feels like that. And, like, that's what they're going for. Like, isn't it fun? You just go, these are real people. These are real people who existed and were... Mm. You know, I'm not sure that's... You know, it's not Tarantino, you know? But if it was all like that, that would be sort of fine, I guess. But it's not. It's neither one thing nor the other, really. But the central problem is this character, who is the absolute spine of this film. Francis is the character's name. And they don't know anything about her, what she's thinking. I don't think it's Emily Browning's fault. I think the screenplay hasn't a bloody clue who she is or why she does anything.
I read the script's pretty rubbish, and there's a big thing going online how they used a Guardian 2-star review, and they put it in between their heads on the poster.
So it looks like they're obscuring the other three stars. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I read pretty bad. You look at the 4-star reviews, and you always see who is it from. Because it's pretty impossible not to get a 4-star review. And if it's from, like, you know, Marie Claire or, you know, goodfilmsonline.com, some made-up website, you know it's bad.
For them, it's 5 stars. It was just nice to be asked to attend.
Yeah.
No, it's not as bad as that. I read a review on a site called Film Drunk of it, which is particularly good, actually, filmdrunk.com. And he hit the nail on the head, I thought, where it keeps following this fairly boring and cliched storyline between Reggie and Francis, where she's like, oh, Reggie, you've got to go straight. You've promised you go straight. And he's like, yeah, I'll go straight. And then he doesn't go straight. And then it's like, we've seen this 1,000 times. And right next to him, you've got this other performance of Ronnie Cray, who is genuinely something we've not seen before. It's fun and layered and interesting, and he gets far less screen time than this sort of boring thing in the middle of it. And that's bang on, I think. I think the Krays aren't that relevant, and they never have been. They've sort of been overblown in some areas of London as in some way glamorous, rather than just like the violent idiots they probably were.
That's my
were.
Problem. I really hate all this thing, which I didn't really want to go and see it. I hate the glorification of this East London thugs, like arseholes, basically, into being like, oh yeah, they were characters. No, they weren't. They were horrible, violent thugs who kill people and terrify people. And then for some reason, it's like, oh yeah, really great. Oh, great with Ronnie and Reggie around here. No, they're violent, horrible criminals. Anytime I see a funeral with, you know, horses and stuff like that, a proper horse and chariot where it says, oh, dad, with flowers saying down the side, I think, and everyone looks like criminals. And I don't sort of think, oh, that's a shame, someone's died. I think, oh, and a horrible criminal has died.
Yeah.
I just cannot stand this glorification of these brutal, disgusting men.
I think a skillful filmmaker or writer or team could do it well. They could do something with the craze that was relevant.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned The Long Good Friday, which I think is an absolutely brilliant film.
And fictional characters
And it's got Charlie from Casualty in it.
Does it?
Yeah. He's the one film we did before he spent his life in doing Casualty. Yeah. But that is an amazing film. Helen Mirren in it, of course. Bob Hoskins being brilliant.
Yeah.
Pierce Brosnan. Right at the start.
Yeah, who doesn't say a word. He's just a sexy Irish man who seduces someone to their death in a swimming pool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't watch The Krays, then watch it on Good Friday if you haven't seen it.
Well, look, The Krays, I would say, if you are a fan of Tom Hardy, this is one of his most fun performances, actually. You know, it's not a terrible film at all. It held my attention. It's just, at the end of it, you're like, oh, it could have been more than that. I'd probably give it 6, David.
That's quite a lot.
It's all right. It's just above average, isn't it?
So they could have put your 3 stars that equates to in between the heads on the poster.
They could have done. It would be better than The Guardian, Film Fandango.
They could have had a bit more space in between.
We should probably, in order to get more listeners, really just give everything 5 to try and get on a movie poster. Do you think we can try and get on a movie poster?
And people will go, what's Film Fandango? I'm going to look that up on my phone and listen to all those podcasts.
Yeah, exactly. And then give you £3.
I don't know whether they will or not.
Well, we'll have a business meeting after this recording.
A business meeting?
Well, basically just say what we just did. I mean, we don't know anything about business.
I tell you what, do you want to talk about it a bit
more? No, I think that's it. The supporting cast is the only other thing I was going to mention. It's, you know, high calibre. You've got David Fewlis in there as the accountant. You've got Christopher Eccleston as the cop who's after them, who's entirely ineffectual, seemingly. You've got Paul Bettany looking very old as a rival sort of dandy gang leader. It's fun at times and sort of a bit like, oh, come on, mate, at others. And tonally all over the place. But
wait till it comes out on video.
Yeah. Legend. I don't know why it's called Legend, because they're not legends. But there doesn't seem to be any irony in that. Unless it's like, oh, Legend.
Oh, a legend, mate.
Legend. Which basically means a drunk, doesn't it?
I tell you what, though.
What?
It's letters time.
Letters time. Who has written in and what do they want?
Some people have written in.
Good, I'm glad.
The first one is Christopher Dodd. He's written in. Please read this out in the tone of a New York taxi driver who, despite being nice all day, hasn't received one tip. You just consumed a jumbo large hot dog, which is now giving him a stomachache.
I think this is yours.
He still has 2 hours of his shift to complete. He needs a loo desperately. It's still my chest infection from about 3 weeks ago. I can't believe it.
Have you got this?
A New York taxi driver needs to have a shit.
That's the one.
Hi, guys. I was watching an interview with Gene Wilder, who said Richard Pryor was going to play the new Black Shower from Blazing Saddles. But Warner Brothers felt he wasn't reliable and replaced him. This got me thinking, would the film have been better with me to play the role? I'm not sure. I think he may have dominated it.
There were so many strong performances in the film, including Madeline Kahn, that he would have stolen every scene he was in. I consider Blazing Saddles to be a team effort of all the actors involved. What do you think? Kind regards, Chris.
Richard Pryor was that?
Yeah, because he was going to play the Black Sheriff.
Not Richard Briers.
Not Richard Briers, no.
No. Well, Richard... I think Blazing Saddles is sort of perfect the way it is, but I don't think Richard Pryor would have dominated over Gene Wilder. I mean, they've done films together before. See No Evil, Hear No Evil. They play a blind guy and a deaf guy, don't they? Together. And
loads of them. Silver Streak.
Yeah, that's right. They've got a fantastic double act going. So it's sort of... It would have made it more like other things we've seen.
Yeah, that's what I think it would have been.
Yeah.
Would have been more of their relationship would have been... Would have been now, you say Blazing Saddles, I actually think about the jokes.
Yeah.
I think there's so... It's a film we think that's... It is a balanced film. And there's all the number of gags that stand
out. The lead is brilliant in it. He plays it perfectly. Like, absolutely,
yeah, he's
totally brilliant.
Been quite naive, yeah.
Yeah, he was in a TV series called V... That I used to like when I was a kid.
I remember that, yeah.
About lizard people taking...
The red eyes or something, didn't they?
Yeah. They ate rodents, ate gerbils and stuff.
I think that Blazing Saddles is... Yeah, it's a film about gags, which is a typical Mel Brooks
film. Well, it's the perfect Mel Brooks film. I think there are other really good ones, you know, like Young Frankenstein and Spaceballs, I guess. But...
Apologies.
The Producers being a very different one, but yeah. Blazing Saddles is fantastic. Gene Wilder at his best as well, because it's such a subtle performance for being, you know, the co-lead, I guess.
Yeah.
No, he's brilliant. He's brilliant.
But I do think Richard Pryor was a genius, so any film he makes, he would have made it better.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's read it. I want to read the one before I do my film.
Have you got the one talking about legend in there?
Let me see. Well, you're going to have to fill now while I look up legend on the... I've entered it into...
Well, you're filling yourself there with your...
Oh, legend, yes. This is Rob Marland, who... a Wolfsburg player.
Yes.
Who plays for the West Wirral Snake Hips in my sporting league, the Wolfsburg League.
How did they do in their debut, the Snake Hips?
They've won all four of their games.
Well, blimey. Well, they're not allowed back. How did he won... he wants to be Danny Dyer. This one, so Danny Dyer. Hi chaps, I just got back from seeing that new Cray Twins film, Legend. I'll cut to the chase, it's sub-mediocre, 4 out of 10 Robs. I got in for £3.75 because I live in the north, but I couldn't live with myself if I didn't warn you against pissing your hard-earned cash away on a London price ticket. Normally two Tom Hardys would be worth the price of admission. Not today. To be fair, the acting is lovely jubbly. It's the script that lets the film down. The voiceover narration by the actress playing Reggie's wife is Blade Runner bad. Told you. I've picked out a couple of choice gems for you. Number one, we honeymooned in Greece. The Parthenon had stood for 2,400 years. Reggie's promise to go straight lasted 2 weeks.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's appalling. Number two, the world is a bit like London. It's not good, it's not bad, it just is.
Oh.
Wow, deep. There was also something in there about tea being the solution to all problems. You know, because this is England. But the main problem was the tone. Do you remember the scene in the Shaun of the Dead? There you go. He's agreeing with me on Don't Stop Me Now. Yeah, I've already said it, so I'll cut to the chase. Blah, 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 yeah. To sum up, it's Douglas Hurd, my son. Best Rob. Yes, no, I was very pleased to get the email because we had exactly the same thoughts, Rob. I've said it already, it's totally all over the place and the voiceover's trousers. Very odd, very odd. But I think it's probably the writer also being the director not having a decent enough editor to say no, you know?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
How many more... well, I've got another one I think I'd like you to read out.
Mm.
It is, in the voice of a Mexican man who had broken up with his transsexual girlfriend.
Oh, this is there's a partner piece to the transsexual Mexican who'd broken up with his boyfriend. Okay.
This is from Dominic Fagerty.
Okay.
I'll let you do it.
Thanks. So what was it? It was a Mexican man who's broken up with his transsexual girlfriend. Now, Marek, here's an editorial choice for you. Is it post-op transsexual girlfriend?
I think... How many paragraphs is it?
I'm
having a crossword.
It's about two.
I think it. The first paragraph I want a pre-op.
Yeah.
And then the second paragraph
post-op.
Okay.
Dear Slum Fandango, I am rather new to the podcast, but I am listening through some old ones and keeping up to date with the new ones. I'm really enjoying the show. Thank you very much for making it. I have a couple of favourite lesser seen films that I would like to recommend to you or hear what you think if you have seen them. The first is Colossus, the Forbidden Project. I don't know if that is a typo or that is what it is called. An early 70s film where the US government have created a supercomputer to be in total control of America's nuclear missiles. This is a really great film that is creeping throughout, definitely 9 DOMs from me, Dom. Another 9 DOMs went to the 1962... What? Quiet, buddy. No, I said quiet. He does not respond to me, Dom.
This is all in the letter, though.
Yes, it's all in there. It's really
he
creepy.
Knows when Buddy's going to bark and he's responding quiet. This
creepy.
Is a psychic trans.
It's crazy. What, crazy
he, but he loses his psychic ability when his dick gets cut off.
Oh no. You would lose so much more. Another 9 DOMs went to the 1962 Roger Corman film The Intruder. It stars William Shatner, who plays a man who calls himself a social reformer. He rolls into a small southern town just before integration of black students into the town's previously white only school. Integration, not interrogation, oh my god. Integration of black students into the town's previously white-only school and stirs the town up into a racial frenzy. This is a very hard-hitting film that has made the same year as To Kill a Mockingbird and also deals with the subject of racism, but in a far grittier way. Hope you enjoy them both. Thanks for all you do. Keep watching the films, Dom, from Reading.
Where was the bit where did you change into post-op?
She had gone to post-op, you see, halfway through, but I quiet, buddy, stubby. But I was getting over it because time had passed, you see, so I got stronger, really.
Well, that's a good news, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Right, here's another letter.
Right.
There's no voice.
Well, it'd be hard to understand then.
So I'll just do it in my own voice.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm reading this one out because it's from Oliver Ashman. And this led to me choosing what film I was going to watch for the second film.
Yeah.
Anyway, before I talk about that, let's hear what Oliver Ashman's got to say.
Okay.
Hi, David Merrick and Buddy. Congratulations on your 200 episodes. We're 202 now.
Yeah.
I've been listening since the first episode, and my claim to fame is that you watched 24-Hour Party People on my recommendation. After your most recent episode, or the one before, I watched The Death of Superman Lives and can't help thinking that while it looked really interesting and had potential, I think we may have dodged a metaphorical bullet with our metaphorical super speed. Not that we needed to dodge it, we could have shot it with a metaphorical heat vision or stopped it with our metaphorical and vulnerable chest. He's saying that the film shouldn't have got made. John Peters came across as the star of the documentary and was so obviously a dick that I can't see how the best intentions of Nick Cage, Kevin Smith and Tim Burton could ever have produced a coherent film. You mentioned that It Follows is your favourite film of the year so far. I can't watch it myself, as horror films just end up scaring me too much. I mean, there was a time when I used to pretend to be brave and watch it anyway, but now I've accepted this as a genre of film I'll have to miss out on. I'm okay with this. Anyway, I thought I'd let you know my favourite film of the year so far. Every year, a friend and I put together our top tens to compare. Films that have come out top of my list in the last few years are Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, Killer Joe, Only God Forgives, and Snowpiercer. Only God Forgives is shit. That's me there. My favourite of 2015 so far is John Wick. a really cool action film starring Keanu Reeves and Lovejoy. That's Ian McShane.
No, it's Lovejoy.
It's so much better than Taken and all its clones. No, Fast 13 means that the fight scenes, of which there are many, play out in a way that's really immersive. It's not gritty like The Raid, but glossy and stylish in a way that really reminded me of Leon, one of my all-time favourites. Finally, the world-building is really impressive. Apparently, there's talk of a sequel, which I really like. What I really like is another story set in the same world. The characters all live by a really well-defined set of rules revolving around the central location, the Continental. Hope you enjoy it. Keep watching the films. Ollie from Portsmouth.
Thank you, Ollie from Portsmouth. So, on Ollie's recommendation...
Yeah, because this past week or so,
yeah,
by some fluke, I've managed to get some acting jobs.
Yes.
So, I didn't have time to go to cinema, so I thought, I will buy... I read this email and I thought, oh, I looked it up, it said it was out.
Yeah.
But not for rental.
No, it's on Blinkbox for £9.99.
Yeah, I spent £10 on buying this, John Wick. I was keen to see Keanu Reeves make his comeback.
This is going down a dark place, isn't it?
Yeah. Ollie Ashman, or should I call you Oliver, this film is a total load of shit. It is awful.
Okay, give us a synopsis first. What's it about?
Okay, imagine you're babysitting your nephew or young someone, or maybe it's your own, and you say, okay, you're babysitting a child around 8 or 9 years old.
Okay.
And you say, right, I'm going to give you 20 minutes to write the entire script to an action film.
Otherwise, then, no fish fingers.
Otherwise, no fish fingers. And it better be good, because I'm going to invest at least $50 million in making this film.
And Keanu Reeves is going to read that, all right?
Keanu Reeves is going to read it. We've got Willem Dafoe in it. We've got, you know, lots of actors you've seen.
Lovejoy.
Michael Nick, Ian McShane. Good actors. So just do your best, all right? But only 20 minutes. I don't want you to put any thought into it. Just to, it reminds me. Me and my brother, when we were kids, our nan used to buy us she used to work for the company, and they had leftover diaries.
Yeah.
They were page a day diaries that she gave us as our drawing books. And we played a game where we would just draw a picture of two people having a chase and shooting each other. And it's almost, and we would write detective things like, a man walked down the street, a robber came, he shot the robber was dead. Then another robber came in the car, he shot the robber was dead.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, I was 4 or 5, not even 8. So it starts off, I'm saying this because you don't need to watch this film, so spoilers. It starts off, Keanu Reeves' wife that he loves has just died. How do we know she's just died? Well, because he's looking at some video of her, and there's lots of photos of her, and he goes, sure, goes to the funeral.
But he goes to the funeral, okay. That's the main way you know she's dead.
But, I mean, so he's vulnerable.
Yeah.
I mean, but we need to make him more vulnerable. How are we going to do this?
Cut his dick off.
No.
Pull his pants down?
She sent him a present. Guess what it is?
A baby.
Him to look after. Almost a puppy. Oh. A lovely puppy.
Does the dog die?
What do you think?
Yeah, it gets killed.
How do you establish a villain immediately?
You do a warm-up kill with a dog. Which, yeah, to anyone who's ever actually had a dog, is not a warm-up kill. It's killing a child. That's what killing a dog, yeah, is.
It's an acceptable child.
It's in no way acceptable. Killing a cat, fine. but everyone saves the cat and kills the dog. No, I'm sick of dog
death. His wife buys him his wife from beyond the grave buys him a puppy, and in the meantime, he's taking his flash car down the station to get some petrol, and some Russians, played by Alfie Allen and some other people,
oh yeah,
see his car, and they decide they want to have his car, so they try and break into his house and nick his car, and they beat him up and they kill this puppy. So that they are 100% evil.
So now in cowboy rules, killing them is now fine.
But the only thing is that he doesn't. His Alfie Allen's dad. Alfie's Russian, by the way. They're all Russians.
Okay.
Russians are the new bad guys.
Yes,
again.
It's fine to kill all Russians.
And his dad is the owner. His dad runs the city. He's the head of the boss. You know, of everything.
So he's the mobster boss's son, which is an absolutely, yeah, trope character.
Yeah. And John Wick, he was like the boogeyman, as you call him. But he was a guy that they used to hire to kill everyone. When you've got the hardest mission in the world, and I mean, who are we going to get in? We'll just get John Wick in, and he does it because he is a mean killer. He's definitely still behind him.
He's the boogeyman.
The bogeyman.
Right. The boogeyman would be different.
Yeah, the boogeyman.
He's the boogeyman.
He gyrates around. He's so bad at dancing.
Yeah.
That if you see him dance, you die. Oh,
that is bad. I hope he doesn't dance anymore.
Yeah. And so he decides to. Now his dog's dead, he's got nothing to live for, so he's going to carry on killing people until.
Makes sense.
But it's one of those films where you can just go, alright, how long is the fight going to be between each character before they die, according to how many lines they've got?
Yeah.
If a villain says two or three lines, they're a henchman, that means their death fighting scene's going to be 30 seconds longer
okay.
than a normal person.
So it's just a revenge for a dog film?
Yeah, it's a revenge for a dog. It's basically, John Wick goes to a different place, he shoots and kills 50 or 60 people.
Yeah.
But all of them, one at a time.
Yep.
So if you're we're all breaking your house to kill you, yeah. rather than all six of us shooting at the same time,
yeah.
we're going to go one by one. Even though 20 of us have already been killed doing this one by one approach.
Yeah.
Rather than that, why not just wait and put a sniper outside his house the next day?
Presumably because they don't want to see him dance, do they?
No.
That's the thing, they're afraid of seeing him dance.
Well, you're going to... And they've done this thing as well. The boogeyman. Listen, I'm getting over an illness.
I like the boogeyman. I want to use the boogeyman.
They do a thing with subtitles. I've got a real problem when... I think subtitles should just be legible in normal white or black writing.
Or yellow is quite yellow. Good, yeah.
Don't do a thing where you start putting them around the screen.
Oh, piss off.
And putting words like fuck... and boogeyman in different font.
Okay.
So that when they speak in Russian, they actually put in like weird fiery font.
Like it's a comic book, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Keanu Reeves, I really like Keanu Reeves, and it's great because he's almost got this thing where he can do up to two sentences normal.
Yeah.
If you go into a third sentence... he automatically starts going into brilliant intense
action. Yeah, yeah. It's like Jason Statham in that regard. I watched another Jason Statham film where I cheered when it happened. First two scenes, American. Third scene, it's wavering slightly. Fourth scene, British all the way through to the end. Yeah.
It's great. Keanu Reeves is great because you can go, when's brilliant intense? You cannot do more than three or four.
I really like Keanu Reeves as a leading man, though.
I think he's brilliant. I think he's really, really good. This has got great actors in it. The script is diabolical, and it's just, it's almost a child's version of villains.
Right.
There's nothing glamorous or cool. I'm sorry, Overlastman, this is terrible. It's just literally a setup. I'm going to go to this place. Oh, you better go to the garage. They're all at the garage. You know, better go there. They're all there. I'm going to kill 50 people in order, just shooting them. And they're not even good special effects. It looks like someone's used After Effects and done that blood splatter you do. Because there's so many deaths. It's just me going, shooting him, shooting him, shooting him. I'm going to shoot him, shoot him. I won't get injured. I'll do a little bit of a fight with him. I'll shoot him. I'll shoot him. Okay, that's that bit over. Bit of talking. I'll shoot him. That is it.
But what are the action sequences like? Are they well choreographed? Can you see the stuff, like Oliver says? I mean, are they well shot?
I think it's all right.
Okay.
I'm just an old man now. I'm 39 years old. I have no interest in these films.
Right.
It's like watching it's just a succession of people getting killed. There's no pleasure. There's no glamour in it. There's no enjoyment in it.
But they're tacit dog murderers, Marek. I mean, surely there's some pleasure in seeing
them John Wick
get their just desserts. He was a career murderer himself.
He's killed hundreds and hundreds of people.
But he recently gave up for a brief window of time. and that means we like him.
You don't ever hear about the guy, you don't hear about dead guy number four. He's probably just, you know, he got a security guard job, he didn't realise what it was, and he ends up getting killed.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, I'm sorry John Wick didn't turn
it's
out to
rubbish.
Be everything you were promised.
I can't believe people think this is good. There's not one conversation in this that's remotely interesting.
Have you seen other films of this genre, though? For instance, have you seen the Taken films?
I thought Taken, the first Taken, was A good action.
It's film. Responsible for a
yeah.
big old spate of one old man versus a load of,
yeah.
of gangsters films.
Yeah. I really like Keanu. I think Keanu has got this odd. Like in Speed, he's brilliant in Speed.
Yeah.
That's a great film. That's a good action film.
Yeah.
You've got something where you've got. It's so much more interesting than this. This is almost sort of bordering on that superhero thing where he's just suddenly. He's this ultimate killer who can never. All he gets is a slight cut or scratch.
Well, that annoys me. I've talked about it before, but the best heroes are ones who really take a pounding and keep getting up, rather than the ones who never
like
get
hit. Like in Die Hard, and Bruce Willis, when he's going to get a glass and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, that's more like, you actually feel the glass, you know.
Yeah, Indiana Jones gets the absolute crap beaten out of him every single film, doesn't he? But he keeps on going.
He does get beaten up a bit, but it never, I don't know, I just... Maybe I'm on a different... I don't want to watch these rubbish action films.
Yeah.
It's not interesting for me.
Well, how many Marics?
Three.
Three Marics for John Wick.
Well, three. Let me go through other films that he said are good. Tinker said he'd tell his soldier spy. He's good, but I didn't really understand most of it. Killer Joe, I haven't seen it yet. Only God Forgives. It's by the same thing bloke who did Drive. Drive is brilliant. Only God Forgives is awful.
Which one is that? Is it Gosling again?
Yeah, he's in it.
Oh, the one with him with his fists up in the poster.
I think so. It's
yeah,
awful.
Yeah, yeah.
Snowpiercer is one on a train I haven't seen. They look quite good.
All right. I was made aware of a film that I don't think actually comes out in cinemas till next year. But
The Bumming Man.
No, what? If you've rushed it into production, maybe it could make it to cinemas for next year. But no, it's just something to look up. I think it's a German film, but it's called Victoria. And it's... the two principal characters are a Spanish, I think a woman, and a German man, or the other way around. But
Hans and Conchita.
That's right. But they speak in English because that's the common language they know. Therefore, it missed out on a foreign language nomination at either the Oscars or some other festival because it didn't have enough. It didn't have enough foreign language in it. But it is. A 2-hour something film, 2-hour 20 minutes, I think, we're including a bank heist in it at one point, and it is one shot. And apparently it's brilliant.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing more about it, or seeing it, hopefully, when it finally comes out. It's called Victoria. But anyway, keep eyes open for that. That'll do for this week.
Yeah.
If you'd like to get in touch, then please do email us, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com, or you can post anything you find on our Facebook page, /filmfandango, so that other listeners can see it and you can talk to one another. Or you can tweet us at filmfandango, at Mr. David Reed, or at Merritt Larwood. And we do all of this for free. So if you would like to contribute towards our running costs so we can keep doing it and keep doing it for free, we have done over 200 episodes now, so listen to our back catalogue if you haven't already. But if you'd like to donate, then go to filmfandango.co.uk and follow the link from there. And everyone who has, thank you very, very much. We will be back next week
with a guest,
with a guest of all things. Keep watching the films.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing.
Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.